I'm Bill Littlefield. Coming up on Only a Game, for the 19th time, we rescue those desperately seeking gifts. But first, I'm joined by Charlie Pierce for our look at the week's news. Hello, Charlie.
Me some too, yes?
Absolutely. Okay. Get in line. Chris Paul was finally traded this week. He's a Clipper now. Does this make NBA Commissioner David Stern the poster boy for parity, or a shameless manipulator who has exceeded his authority?
A shameless manipulator who's exceeded his authority, Bill. That's the answer to the question.
It
does make the Clippers an interesting team. It might, in fact, make the Clippers a slightly better team than the other team in L.A. The way the process worked out is of no credit to anybody, basically, except Chris Paul, who's managed to sort of maintain his dignity through the whole thing. But they certainly are going to be entertaining, because I estimate Chris Paul for anywhere between 22 and 112 lob passes per game. So,
unlike Chris Paul, Orlando's Dwight Howard has not changed teams, even though the season will begin in just 8 days. Should Howard expect an icy reception in Orlando?
Well, considering he's going to do nothing but answer questions about how much he wants to be out of town, I don't think he's going to be, he's not going to be the happiest mouse in the Magic Kingdom, let's put it that way. And the GM, Otis Smith, down there says the team wants to keep him so that the trade talks could, quote, go to the end of the season. And won't that be pleasant sometime in April?
Something to talk about. If they drop by practice, fans of the defending champion Mavericks won't recognize an awful lot of the players in Dallas uniforms. Are the Mavs better than they were last season, or worse?
I have absolutely no idea, because they're so different that I'm going to have to see how all these players manage to play with each other. I know Lamar Odom is not happy with being traded there, although why you would not be happy to be traded to the defending champions, I have absolutely no idea. But this is such a radical reworking of their roster that I don't think we're going to know how, and in a shortened training camp to boot, I don't know we're going to know how good the Mavericks started after the first of the year.
Browns quarterback Colt McCoy got clobbered head-to-head by James Harrison of the Steelers on December 8th. McCoy left the game briefly, then returned without having been assessed for a possible concussion. What went wrong on the Cleveland sideline?
It looks like everything did. It looked like the coaches weren't paying attention, the trainers weren't paying attention, and they're claiming now they didn't even see the hit on the field, which I find very hard to believe.
Somebody,
I don't know what they were looking
it, yeah,
at. Mike Holmgren, the president of the Browns, says that McCoy didn't show any concussion-like symptoms. Somebody there should have looked at that and said, okay, this guy might have a concussion.
Charlie, would I be exaggerating if I were to say that Patriots tight end Rob Gronkowski is very good at catching the football and then running into the end zone with it?
Nothing gets by you, football guy, I'm telling you.
I'm right
on top of
this. Nothing
gets by Mr. NFL, ladies and gentlemen. He's perfectly built for a tight end. He's got the perfect quarterback. Tom Brady has decided that he's going to put this guy in the Hall of Fame. And I feel rather kind of bad for Aaron Hernandez, the other second-year tight end for the Patriots, who's very, very talented and completely lost in the shadow here at this point.
On Wednesday, the NFL announced their new deals with the TV networks broadcasting the games. These are uncertain economic times. Will the league be able to carry on?
More money, more money, more money, more money. 50% more money than the current deals. The average of the three deals between the NFL and CBS, Fox, and NBC, going to average about $3 billion a year. So I think the NFL is doing quite well.
On.
Thank you very much.
A group of high school students on Long Island have been suspended for T-bowing in the hallways. What's that all about?
Apparently, there's four of them. They were handed a one-day suspension after 3 days of taking a knee with their foreheads resting on their fists. The way, obviously, Tim Tebow's now, iconic pose after he scores a touchdown. They weren't suspended for violating the separation of church and state. They were basically suspended for being high school jackasses and clogging the hallways.
Charlie, Sidney Crosby is off the ice again, experiencing the dreaded concussion-like symptoms. He's had a lot of company in the NHL, including Philadelphia Flyers defenseman Chris Pronger, who was ruled out for the rest of the season this week. Is it time to conclude that the measures the league has taken to address head injuries are just insufficient?
I don't know that you can make that claim right now. What I do know is that the size of the players, the speed of the game, and the encouragement to essentially commit acts of violence within the rules and without the rules guarantee that you're going to have concussion problems in this sport, and that guarantees that sooner or later you're going to lose a couple of stars. You already lost Eric Lindros to that. I don't know why that wasn't enough, but losing Sidney Crosby is really going to shake things up.
Mikhail Prokhorov, the exceedingly wealthy Russian fellow who owns the New Jersey Nets, announced this week that he's going to run against Vladimir Putin for the presidency of Russia. If Mr. Prokhorov wins, do you suppose being president will distract him from the business of running the Nets?
If Mr. Prokhorov wins, I just hope he doesn't die. I mean, this is the business of Vladimir Putin he's running against.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to reserve judgment on Russian politics because I don't know a lot about them. I do know, however, that Mr. Prokhorov has been an interesting character ever since he came into the league, and this really puts him over the top. Can he run the Nets, by the way, and Russia?
Yeah, sure. I mean, if he can run Russia, the Nets ought to be a cinch.
Well, that's true. Plus, they're moving to Brooklyn. Possibly under assumed names.
There are, as I understand it, some Russians there. There has been much discussion of China's increasing influence in various arenas, Charlie, and this week there's some concern that the world's best soccer players will join Nicolas Anelka, late of Chelsea, in China. Are you worried?
I know, because it's soccer, and I could care if everybody played on the moon, Bill. But that having been said, the Chinese are in this with both feet. They have brand-new stadiums, which is apparently what attracted Anelka over there. And you have to remember, this is an authoritarian state. They can make people go to the games and like it.
This week, the police in Tinley Park, Illinois, came down on a couple of hockey players for creating a rink in their backyard because they did so by opening a fire hydrant. How the heck else did they expect these guys to make a rink?
Well, he said that the guys who did it said they originally thought about filling it up with a garden hose, but they switched to the hydrant because they thought if they used the garden hose, their water bill would be too high. This man has established the principle that if you steal something, it's a lot cheaper than buying it for yourself.
And finally, last weekend's basketball game between Indiana University and Kentucky resulted in at least one crucial injury, crucial at least to readers of a particular magazine.
Yes, a Playboy model named Megan Dills will have to miss her next photo shoot because of ankle injuries she suffered after the fans in Indiana stormed the court. She's a Kentucky fan, was just trying to get out of the way, apparently. I don't mean to be indelicate, and I certainly don't mean to in any way minimize Ms. Dills' career choice.
Here it comes.
Why does a Playboy model care whether she sprained her ankle? What does it possibly have to do with her job?
I can't imagine. Charlie Pierce writes the politics blog for Esquire magazine, and of course he joins me each week at this time on Only a Game as well. Thank you, Charlie.
Thanks, Bill.